pass to the Crystal Ballroom that allows you and a guest entry to every show, even if it's sold out, as well as access to the VIP viewing area. A one-week artist residency at Southwestern Lodge in Seaview, Washington on the Long Beach Peninsula, $200 in gift certificates to the Portland Saturday Market, and 10 treatments at Working Class Acupuncture. For every $15,000 we raise between now and May 5th, we will remove one day from the spring membership drive, which will be from May 6th through May 16th. Thank you for your early support. All the funds raised during this time will be applied to the spring membership drive goal of $95,000. A donation is not required to enter the sweepstakes. For more info, kboo.fm/2015springsweeps.
Hi, this is Sun Lee, KBOO's membership director. I want to thank you for being a member and a listener to KBOO. I also wanted to share this listener's comment on why they support KBOO.
Judith from Portland, Oregon said, "I listen to KBOO intermittently, but I want to support free speech. Sorry, I can't always give much, but I give when I can."
We hope that you feel the same. Please support your community and your local radio station by going to kboo.fm/give.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, feminist news and public affairs, on the KBOO airwaves since 1978, the longest-running feminist radio program in the country. This weekly show is shared among women-identified radio activists. And if you're interested in getting involved as a host, producer, or engineer, no experience necessary, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes, at volunteer@kboo.org. Connect with us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm, Bread and Roses. You can access our podcasts, share feedback, and suggest show ideas. And like us on Facebook at KBOO Bread and Roses. I'm your host this week, Leanne Kranz, and our engineer is Christy Maria. Happy May Day. Bread and Roses and KBOO stand in solidarity with all the beautiful humans who took over the streets today and walked for justice, worker and immigrant rights, and because Black Lives Matter. Tonight, Bread and Roses welcomes back unchaste readers, women reading their minds for a live reading. The Unchaste Reader series is a forum for local female-identified writers to read their work for a live, supportive audience. Their next public reading is Tuesday, May 19th, 7:30 p.m. sharp, at the American Legion on Alberta Street in Northeast Portland. I'm hearing really good things about that place. Sean Davis, right? Yay, Sean. Tonight, I'm joined in the studio by six local writers. Lavinia Malioko. Did I say that remotely?
Yes.
Yay. Okay. Kalima Abioto. Melanie Aldrit, Nadia Martinez-Chantry, Lydia Yuknovich, and the co-founder and curator of the Unchaste Readers series, Jenny Forrester. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Gracias.
Hi, Leanne. Thank you for inviting us back to Unchaste on the radio, Unchaste KBOO. I wanted to read this because it's something that I read at Unchaste, and it kind of gives a flavor of what I think about Unchaste and why in the world I started doing this, and how lucky I am to do it. So my mother-in-law said that I bring it out in people with my feminist and other ist intensity. If I'd just leave well enough alone, my mother used to say. Over the years, I've learned to navigate people somewhat, to get along in the company of people, to not unfriend, banish, disengage too often. I've become more subtle about my agenda, and I attempt to soften my intensity's edges. I do believe in a sisterhood of women. This is a complicated and messy belief, because we're not all good sisters, and sometimes we're not even sisters at all. And maybe we shouldn't have to be, as romantic as it sounds. I do think what I mean by sisterhood is our gift to each other, to be vulnerable in order to become strong in our own ways, in our own minds, and in our own lives. I do know some of what lurks, what overpowers, what hurts us as women, and I am also ignorant of other lurkings, overpowerings, and hurtfulness. I curate Unchaste because I want to lure in an audience for my sisters, and for my unsisters and anti-sisters. I want you to read your minds to them, to us, to me, in concentric circles of power and privilege. I also want to create a space for us where we can say what we need to say, and more importantly, what we want to say, imperfectly and too loudly, and all the other things we've been told we are, that we are never good enough. I also want love. But more than that, I want words. I want transformation and softening. And I want to upturn the system of violence and warrior worship and erasure by intellectualism and wealth that isn't shared and all that kills and kills and kills. And I don't care about the word or phrase order in that sentence I just wrote, because it's all happening simultaneously. It's how they work on us. See how subtle I've become? So I want to introduce our first reader. Yeah? Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So Lavinia Magliocco has been dancing and writing all her life. She explores embodiment in her studio, Equipoise, enlightened exercise, and can be reached at www.epoise.net. She is working on a book about dance.
Thanks, Jenny.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a magic word that in the diamond trade seals a deal. More powerful than a handshake or contract, the word contains the wisdom of blessing and the nature of what fortune or luck is. It's comprised of three factors: place, time, and what you know or have to give. Mazel. I went back to New York City in 92 after a long absence on a friend's invitation. I hesitated, because I'd given up dance and come back to it broken, after a long illness, after consulting oracles, after the ashes of dead ambition had long grown cold. In short, I was afraid. I felt the nudge of an old longing. My friend's invitation to see a performance at the Metropolitan Opera led me to an invitation to take company class. I got to the stage door, dance bag in hand. My friend led me in, and we descended to the bowels of the theater. He introduced me to the company ballet director, who gave me a long, calculating, up-and-down look and said, "We've had a lot of injuries this year and could use another dancer. You want to audition for us today?" An hour and a half later, I signed a contract and began rehearsals for Aida. Place, time, what I had to give. Mazel. In fourth grade, our class did a total immersion study of Japan and Ghana. I learned both national anthems. My brain was Velcro then. Things stuck, so I can still sing them. Fast forward 30 years, I'm sitting in a train station in Paris, 10 o'clock at night. It's the dead of winter, cold, dark, and the train to Italy is late. Near me, a tall, dark man and a cart full of luggage. We share a wooden bench. I turn to him, ask where he's from. "Ghana," he replies. I wonder if your national anthem is still the same. "Lift high the flag of Ghana, the gay star shining in the sky." He joins me. We're singing together, two strangers in a train station, both of us far from home. Tears are running down his face now, which is lined and tired. Place, time, mazel. We can't plan these moments. Singing an intimate stranger to tears in a Paris train station doesn't happen on a timetable. We can live sheathed in protection, calculate the terms of our connections to forestall bruises of all kinds, or like flowers, like those crenellated tulips and cereal bowl-sized roses, we can choose to give indiscriminately, blooming and not resisting the moment when we spill all our petals, our throats gorgeously undone, for whoever happens to be there. Mazel.
Mazel, thank you so much. Can we applaud?
Yes.
Applause is very important, but I heard last time that if you do that, it sounds kind of funny. But all of you out there listening, I hope you heard that as applause. So next up, we have Kalima Abioto. She is a writer, filmmaker, and all-around creator from Memphis, Tennessee, and she can be found at kalimaabioto.com. Welcome, Kalima.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't go there, don't go there, go there, yes. They're around the corner, yes, yes, yes.
Ancestors, ancestors, please guide me on this road. Choose hallowed ground to walk me on. Hallowed ground to lay my treasures abound. Hallowed friends to keep my secrets found. Alversa, Alversa, I saw you on the train. White body, purple pink, you were wearing amazing grays. Same grandmama face, pigtails pinned up on your crown. Goodness gracious, I must be walking on hallowed ground. There's no certainty, not certain of the sun shine today. Not certain about these feelings. We know how easily they sway. Ancestors, 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 love us without judgment. Protect us on this journey. Soul hallowed, go that we may go forward, change this world. Hands hallowed to make what is for us. Oh yes, we must be free. After all, who do we think we are, reaching for these stars? I'm me, you are you, you don't know what's possible. Through trauma, we can't, we shouldn't, we wouldn't, we couldn't, you better not. Oh yes, I remember in elementary, Miss Westbrook tried to tear the amazing out of me, tried to put me out of my fiery blaze, tried to tell me I was dumb, but I kicked, I screamed, and punched. Nobody knew what I was doing this for. Baltimore, Baltimore, burn Baltimore, Baltimore, earth. Fire inside, set it ablaze, but still make way for the cooling rains. I'm grown, I'm growing, I am still growing, I am alive, I am free, we are free. Thank you.
Kalima, thank you.
We have a little time for some discussion here. I wanna, if I can, feel free to chime in, everybody. Thank you both for those beautiful pieces. Yeah, we heard from Lavinia Maglioko, and Camila, sorry, Kalima, pardon me, Kalima Abioto. I'm curious, I don't have to ask why you were inspired by that poem, but mm-hmm. I'm wondering, have you been able to share that with anyone else before tonight?
No. I was writing it like in the last couple of days, just seeing like social media, mm-hmm. And also just being a traveler myself, you know, just asking my ancestors, asking God to protect me, and to protect, you know, all the people going through things right now. It's like a really like tough time for people, and I feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And your, Lavinia, your piece captured a moment in time as well, those moments in time in life. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired your piece?
Oh, gosh. Wow, I'm just so blown away by Kalima now. I can
Let's
hardly
just take a minute.
You know, say anything relevant. You know, there's so much... writing can do so much. It can rouse us, like Kalima's piece, but it can also, well, it can help us remember magic and moments. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like a lifeline to remember that I'm not in control, and to just trust, you know, really the ancestors that guide us. I was so resonated with that, and that bring us to the times and places where alchemy can happen.
Mm. Made me wonder, I wonder how many of us are calling to those ancestors right now. I know I do, you know, just to make sense of this madness, and we need their wisdom more than ever.
Hear, hear, yeah. Mm.
Well, Kalima, I would encourage you to put that out far and wide.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Both of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your work. I'm going to turn things over now to Jenny Forrester, the founder and curator of Unchaste Readers, Women Reading Their Minds. Bread and Roses is hosting a live reading of local writers tonight.
And this is Unchaste on KBOO Radio. And next up next, you've got Melanie Aldrit. Melanie has been published in Perceptions and The Gravity of the Thing. When she's not writing, she is procrastinating her homework and adventuring in Oregon or whatever else the day takes her. I surprised her because I think I went out of order. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I am.
Is it all good?
Yeah, it's
okay.
All good.
Thank you, Melanie. Thanks so much.
This is called Seven Words. I ain't got lunch and I'm hungry. I say this to myself over and over again. I'm practicing in my head because I want to sound smart, and my mother is the smartest person in the world. She says she ain't got to do nothing she don't want to, and her voice is loud and fills my chest with warm, small circles, and I feel safe. It's the third day of school, and I love numbers, and I can count to 10. We'll count to 100 before the end of the year, and I think if I can count that long, then I must be really smart. I ain't got lunch and I'm hungry is seven words. I walk up to my teacher, and it's 9 steps. I say, I ain't got lunch and I'm hungry, and her eyebrows smush into her eyes and lines form between them. She says I shouldn't yell, and ain't isn't a word good people use. I can see the pale skin of her neck and shoulders grow hard lines of muscles, and she tells me to go to the principal's office. I walk down the halls with lockers I'll use in 6 years when I'm 11, and I ain't got lunch and I'm still hungry. I go past 6 doors and sit outside his office. My hair is in pigtails, and I can see the ping pong ball poofs of kinky curls sticking up in the glass window of the door across the hall from me. I grab a tiny piece and pull my fingers along the length to the tip. It feels bumpy, and now my pigtails aren't perfectly round. The principal tells me my hair is messy, and if I'm not careful, I'll be a Negro. I need to be quiet and obedient, and I need to speak calmly. I need to use real words, and I have to say if I'm sorry, if I'm too loud, or if I get mad. I get up and shut the door and walk down the hall, and I am bad. I know this, but I want to be good, and it's hard. I don't know all the rules. I really like numbers, but it's hard to listen to the order of them. I can't pay attention when I'm so hungry.
Oh, Melanie, thank you. You are so good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes. I was wondering, did you go to school in Portland? Public school by any chance?
I did, yeah.
I've been hearing tales of that place.
Oh, that's fiction, but I was one of 4 brown people, so it kind of is an interesting experience.
Yeah. There was all this stuff recently about the Portland Civil Rights Movement and the history of the Portland schools, and there's a lot to dig up there, but you lived it. May I ask which school you went to?
West Gresham for elementary, and then I went to 3 middle schools and Gresham High School.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that. So, musical break time?
I think so.
All right. Mm. Thank you all for listening. This is Bread and Roses. We're hosting a live reading tonight by Unchaste Readers, Women Reading Their Minds. We've heard so far from Lavinia Malioko, Kalima Abioto, and Melanie Aldrit. We'll be back with Nadia Martinez Chantry after this. This is Joy Harjo with This America.
If
If you look from the stars, you will see truly. You will see your breath, your breathing as clouds. You will see the ancestor dreamers, the witness winds. They are watching this America. America, America, where are you going? Where have you been? Remember the sky you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Sundown and the giving tonight to dreaming. Nitogen Wajanogi, Nitogen Wajanogi. Remember your birth where the peacekeepers stood. Eagle above us, earth below us.
Welcome back to Bread and Roses. That was Joy Harjo with This America. Very timely piece. We're here tonight for a live reading by local writers with unchaste readers, women reading their minds. We've already heard from Lavinia Malioko, Kalima Abioto, and Melanie Aldrit. We'll hear more from them later in the show. When we get to some discussion time. But for now, I will turn it back over to the host, curator, and founder of Unchaste Readers, Jenny Forrester. She'll announce the next cluster of readers.
Thank you so much, Leanne, for having us back, Unchaste, on KB Radio. And I just want to let people know that if you're interested in getting involved in Unchaste Readers, there's a website called unchastereaders.com, of course. And I'm also on Facebook, and I love and hate Facebook, so I'm there a lot. So, and I'm also on Twitter, but I prefer Facebook, so just so you know. if you want to get involved. And we are going to be having another event on May 19th, Tuesday, at the American Legion. It's an all-ages venue so that we can have a younger reader. So that's what we're going to do. Yeah, she's one of my students. I know, I'm not showing any favoritism. She's actually really great.
What age?
She's 16. So, yeah. So that'll be happening on May 19th. Nadia Martinez Chantry, Mujer, Madre, Maestra. Nadia Martinez Chantry lives in each of these roles, moment by moment, day by day. She is a survivor with a simple daily goal: to find, amplify, and honor her own strength as a woman, a mother, and a teacher. Welcome, Nadia. Thank you.
Gracias, Jenny. This is in honor of May Day and Mother's Day coming up. I do not love my children. It wasn't until my first child was 4 months old that I whispered it for the first time in the dark, lying in bed, belly to belly, him nursing me, stroking his newly bald head. I love you, hijo. My child stopped suckling, swallowed, and then kept extracting milk. And I thought, why does he care if I tell him I love him or not? He knows. In every fiber of his being, he hears my lullabies, my heartbeat vibrates his neurons as I wrap him to my chest. He feels my skin, voice, mouth, and fingers always near. Love. A silly, frivolous word that is too casual, too conventional, too tossed about. Love. How dare I use love to describe how it is to grow, birth, nurse, and fumble a child into being. At the hospital, not yet 10 minutes old, my mother said, "Oh, I love you," to my son's impossibly concerned fresh face, squinting at the fluorescence, black hair glistening. I hated her in that moment. To use such a small word to welcome this new life. Love, a boring, simple word. Love. I love blue-collar men. I love warm quesadillas. I love working as a teacher. I love taking walks near tall, immense trees. And I do not love my children. I love spending time with them, love sharing meals, love reading books, love taking bike rides, but how I feel for them cannot be expressed with so uncomplicated a word as love. Breathtaking, psyche-shifting, soul-splicing, the birth of true faith that while I sleep, while I work outside our home, while he goes to school, his body will breathe, his heart will beat, his cries will be heard. I worship them, I scaffold them, I protect them, I nurture them, I push them, I lick their tears, I kiss their blood, I wipe their snot, I snuggle their warm, soft bodies, I wrestle their tough, strong limbs, I shelter their growing spirits, I lift up their minds, I sacrifice for them. I am their mother, capable of hurting them in tremendously deep ways. I am their mother, rivers of patience flowing within me, dammed behind locks only they knew how to open. I am their mother, their ambassador to the world, to air, to eating, to walking, to exploring, to loving. I am their mother, finitely flawed, infinitely intrigued by their antics, lost in their laughter, floating in their curiosity. Their stem cells course through my veins, collecting in wounded areas, keeping me alive longer, carrying me, healing me, so that I might do the same for them. They only get one of me. And this doesn't mean I must not screw up. It only means that I must keep going. I do not love my children. I mother them.
Nadia, thank you. I have said that Nadia is a magician. So I just want to say something. Tessara was supposed to be here, and she might still be outside. I'm not sure. But Tessara Gabrielle Dudley was on her way, and her wheelchair broke, and so she is trapped and stranded. But she's here in spirit. I just know it. And maybe she'll be here soon. But
we have someone going to rescue her.
Yeah, so hopefully everything will be all right.
Yes.
But I just wanted to mention her name on the radio. Mm-hmm. Lydia Yuknovich is the author of several books, including The Chronology of Water and Dora, A Head Case. She is the recipient of the Oregon Book Award, Reader's Choice, and a Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association Award. Her most recent book, The Small Backs of Children, a novel, it will be published by Harper and will be out July 7th, exactly that day, July
Literally.
7th. Literally.
It's my sister's birthday.
Oh, that's perfect. So welcome, Lydia, and thank you.
My complete pleasure to be here. I have to be honest, I kind of just want to sit here and listen to another round of all these amazing women, and I would like them to come home with me and read to me at night as well. Okay?
Sure. Okay, deal.
This is a piece called Revolting. How it could have been your brother holding in his knee injury that kept him from getting up and out and footballed into a life beyond the gutter and grime. How he carried a want so deep and big it replaced his heart. How that want crushed in a drive-by that cut him down for life. How he carries the pain and loss of it clutched tight to his chest like a receiver knows how to. It might have been your brother who picked up the brick and hurled it. How it might have been your father who had just seen and heard enough one day. Your father who for an instant thought of his father and the father before that and all the fathers. It might have been your father who became so exhausted with the held breath of keeping the peace. A breath bigger than it would take to keep from drowning in ocean waters. A big enough breath to let all the brutality of human history pass through him like water. Until one day, it was just the day to say, this is enough. The day to say, you cannot kill my sons and rape my daughters any longer. You'll have to kill me if you ever look at them again. How it was not someone else's son, but your son who showed up on the television, eyes wide and jaw set and shoulders squared, not thinking ahead to the promise of a life of the mind, but thinking right in front of him, bicep to bicep with all the boys he grew up with, when he began to yell, and then the yell became a scream, and then the scream became a fist, and the fist flew, all the dreams deferred, balled up and thrusted inside his fist, his beautiful become a poet someday, even though he goes to jail first, fist. How it was always already your daughters running from mothers into the arms of anything better than nothing at home. How they drove their bodies deep and fast toward sexual velocity and the power of a young woman's body to break free of family. Did anyone think to remake what we mean when we say family? Did anyone look into the eyes of a daughter and see her whole body raging? How it's always the mothers, and if the mothers are deadened, then it's the grandmothers who pick up the brooms and sweep up the violence and swallow the fear and rage back down their ever-constricting throats so they can kiss the baby goodnight. The whisper of air between the brick and the hand, the micro moment before it flies, the way the glass of the storefront shivers so briefly before impact. The way the story shatters into lies every night before our eyes. How I finally stood up and said no, no to my father whose hands could never transgress again. No to the weight of him and everything extending from him, from his too big body, to the power of the head of the family, to the rules of church and school and state authority and this thing people call security. How I stood up and said no and broke every window in his car, every window in our house. How I flunked out of school and slit the tires of an administrator. How I spit in the face of a cop who put his hands up my shirt to search me. How he shoved me so hard against a wall and pressed my hips into cement that both of my shoulders and both of my hip bones wore matching round blue-black bruises in the face of, girl, there ain't nothing you can do about it. This is Texas. How I dreamed of setting him on fire inside his car. I know, it's a revolting, violent dream, and yet that was the language of me getting born up and through what I've been delivered into. Oh, but maybe you thought I was talking about someone else. Perhaps you thought I was talking about some kind of them. But I tell you, they were all me, all singing the song of enough, no more, not my body, not my life. All wringing the bones of history, every individual act of what you might call violence, every moment someone stands up in the face of authority and exposes the hypocrisy of systems that only work by beating some of us down so others can rise, pretty, shiny others. It was me I was telling the story of. That was me. We may not be the same, but I have to tell you, our differences are starting to divide us. They also unite us. There will never be a them without me again. And if I have to pick a side, it's the side of voice and revolt.
Yes. Thank you, Lydia.
Mm. I want to be on that side too. Mm-hmm. So usually during the Unchaste readings, I tell really bad jokes and I try to get people to know what I'm doing with Unchaste and why I think it's important that other people speak other than me, and other than people who are like me or in my cohort of life. And I just there are a lot of words that I need other words for, and there are a lot of ideas that I need other ideas for, and there's transformation that we all need that I can't always voice. I can't articulate all the time, so I want to give people that time. So that's what I do. That's what Unchaste is important to me.
And you do it well, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you. I also like reading.
So, on that note, Jenny Forrester has most recently been published in the Listen to Your Mother anthology, published by Putnam, and is the curator for the fabulous Unchaste Reader series.
Ooh, yay!
Yay!
Thank you, thank you. Sorry for the paper rattling in your ears. Mom died in a cavern called La Calavera, a tunnel off of a sinkhole in Mexico. She drowned. She'd always had a way of living on some edge. Edge of a narrow mountain road, edge of the poverty level where she danced when she had enough money to be taxed on. Before she left for Mexico, I said, "Be careful." "Oh, honey," she hissed and clicked her tongue. "I mean it." Defying her, I said it with a force. I'd never done that before. She'd raised me right, to be fearful of her, to be respectful, to keep secrets, to hold a hard facade. The week before, I'd had to tell her that it was okay for her to tell a man she didn't want to date him. She'd raised me saying, "Don't hurt men's feelings." We suffered things so we didn't hurt men's feelings. I could tell you stories. Right before she hung up, she said, "I've been alone all over the world. She didn't need me to worry." Worrying after her was insulting. She sent a package before she boarded the plane, baby socks for my daughter. Mom's big red dive bag arrived at my Phoenix apartment, sent by the consulate. Inside, I found a book called Motherless Daughters. She'd lost her own mother at 19. The bookmark sat in the section describing the particular trauma of losing a mother at the various ages, as a child, as a teen, in the 20s, 30s, etc. The bookmark was on the page for the 20s. I was 29. My father and I had been estranged for some time, but when Mom died, he called more often, sometimes as much as once a year. One Christmas, he said, "I met your mother when she was drunk and spitting ice chips at the bartender." I hung up on him. That's what I wish. In reality, I yelled at him. Mom was a good person. She stayed and took care of Brian and I. I don't want to hear you telling stories like that about her again. He backtracked. She was a good person. I hung up then. I wish. I want to say I didn't care about his feelings. But I let him recover. He talked. I listened. We wrapped it up. I love yous and all that. I wish I'd done right by her and hung up on him. But I can rewrite the story. I can do that for her. I imagine my young, pre-pregnant mama having fun and spitting ice chips and laughing and letting go of some of her Midwestern strict upbringing and becoming a Western Colorado ski bum. I imagine her going home with my father and getting pregnant and finding out. And since it was before Roe v. Wade, she couldn't abort me, but she does one thing different. She doesn't marry him. He says, "Do you want to get married?" She says, "No." Hurts his feelings.
That was Jenny Forrester. Before that, we heard Lydia Yuknovich and Nadia Martinez Chantry. You're listening to Unchaste Readers, Women Reading Their Minds, a live reading on Bread and Roses tonight. We're going to take a quick musical break and come back and talk to these stellar writers and women in our community. This is another one by Joy Harjo for Anime. Mm-hmm.
the sky blurred with mist and wind. I am amazed as I watch the violet heads of crocuses erupt from the stiff earth after dying for a season. As I have watched my own dark head appear each morning after entering the next world to come back to this one, amazed. It is the way in the natural world to understand the place the ghost dancers named after the heartbreaking destruction. Anime, everything and nothing changes. You are the shimmering young woman who found her voice when you were warned to be silent or have your body cut away from you like an elegant weave. You are the one whose spirit is present in the dappled stars. They prance and lope like colored horses who stay with us through the streets of these steely cities. And I have seen them nuzzling the frozen bodies of tattered drunks on the corner. This morning, when the last star is dimming and the buses grind toward the middle of the city, I know it is 10 years since they buried you. The second time in Lakota, a language that could free you. I heard about it in Oklahoma or New Mexico, how the wind howled and pulled everything down with a righteous anger. It was the women who told me, and we understood wordlessly the right meaning of your murder.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. That was Joy Harjo with For Anna May. Tonight we're hosting a live reading by Unchaste Readers, Women Reading Their Minds. So far tonight we've heard from Lavinia Malioko, Kalima Abioto, Melanie Aldrit, Nadia Martinez Chantry, Lydia Yuknovich, and the co-founder and curator of Unchaste, Jenny Forrester. We are so excited that Tessara Gabrielle Dudley made it. She is in the studio.
Yay! And she's going to let me know when she's ready to go, and I can always talk into a microphone for a little while. I didn't think that, when I started writing, I didn't think that I would want to read it out loud. I didn't think that would be part of the thing. You write and then you go back and write something else and you stay in your room and everything's safe. And then it happened that somebody said, hey, we want to give you this award and you have to read it. And I was hooked because the microphone was my friend. Mm-hmm. Tessara's ready?
Yeah.
All right, good. Tessara Gabrielle Dudley lives in the rainy Pacific Northwest, writing poetry and personal essay from the intersection of working class black, queer, disabled life, and hoping her art will help to build a better world. Her first published piece, An Examination of Transit and Travel as a Black Woman, went up on Black Girl Dangerous in 2014. In addition to freelance writing, she recently founded a small press. Tessara can be found on Facebook and Twitter and at tessaradudley.com. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Yes. So I have this piece that I wrote. I have this piece that I wrote pretty recently, and I'm pretty proud of it. So I'm gonna just launch right into that. This one's called "Wouldn't You Like to Be a Queen?" Snow White was anything but her ashen skin the color of snow that's lain on the ground for days too long, grimy with the passing of peasant and lord, eyes hollow, black hair let loose around her face, resting on crimson silks under glass, a mummified curio, distant and cold. They got the story wrong, you see. The witch wasn't jealous. She too wore her ashen skin, the color of snow that's lain on the ground for days too long. The witch wasn't jealous. She was wary, was weary. For she saw Snow White scared, grimy with the passing of peasants and lord. She said, "Sister, take of me this apple. Wouldn't you like to be a queen? My fruit is yours to pluck, sister. Take, bite, and never again may they twist you, sister." And Snow White was fearful, black hair let loose around her face, resting on crimson silks, and she reached from her bed into the basket, took the fruit topmost. A serpent twined her arm. As her strong white teeth bit apple flesh, she felt the bite. The apple fell from nerveless fingers. Flesh fluttered in still air, was still. The witch watched vigilant over her for a night and a day and a night and a day and a night, and on the third day withdrew at the sound of metal and saddle leather. Some lordling come to take from some sleeping beauty, eyes hollow, distant and cold. And though Snow White was still, flesh fluttered in still air, a serpent twined her arm, and as he pressed his lips to her ashen skin, as her strong white teeth bit, the apple fell from nerveless fingers. She said, "My fruit is yours to pluck," rose from beneath him and left his body resting on crimson silks, stepped lightly down to her sister. She said, "Wouldn't you like to be a queen?"
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have something else you wanted to read? You're looking.
Nah.
Okay. All right. So during the break, Leanne asked if I'd read, and there was something I forgot to say. When I ask people to read, I don't ask them to read a specific thing. I don't give a theme because there's already a theme and it's unchaste, because we're darned if we do and we're darned if we don't, so we may as well be ourselves, and we are unchaste just because we're born, just because we're here. So I don't want to, I also, it's kind of selfish, I want to be surprised too, and I need the transformation. I used to love to go to church as a kid. I don't anymore. What I loved was that I felt better afterwards, until I didn't, and then I stopped going. But now I have Unchaste, so this is my church, I guess. So I love that people come with their own idea of what is unchaste and the way they want to respond to it, and that's what I want. I don't want to know. I don't want to censor. The only thing I censored was the words we can't say on radio, and we all know what those are.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say them because I love KBOO. So maybe we could ask everybody, why did you decide to write what you wrote, or what was the thought, what was the spirit of what you wrote about? Where did it come from? That sort of thing.
Go. God forbid silence on the radio. We can't have that.
Dead air.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, I was torn actually between a poem and this and these two sort of disparate stories that I finally found the hook from in an article on the New York Times last weekend on the diamond trade. So, because I've done radio before, I opted for the two disparate stories. And one of the things that I'm sort of chewing on as a woman is the ways that I censor myself and the ways that we're censored, and what happens when we don't censor ourselves, and whether that's, however our creative expression is, whether it's to you know, trust in the moment, trust in whoever happens to be there to, you know, connect, because that's what really it's about. It's connection. So when we censor ourselves, we disconnect. We disconnect from ourselves. We disconnect from the other. So for me, you know, these are fairly chaste stories, I guess you could say, but the unchaste part is the part to just do it. Just take the time, the place, and what you have to give, and don't question it, and just let it come out, put it out there. So that's kind of what I wanted to address, and 3 minutes is a pithy time to do it in, but that was my intent. So
I guess what made me share what I shared, just having thoughts about, you know, what's going on, like, externally in the world, and what's going on for me internally, and just what's going on, like, earthwise, you know. I just think about, like, fire and just letting out rage, you know, and being okay with that, and also being a traveler, just, you know, calling on, like, my resources, calling on, like, my ancestors, calling on, like, being able to trust myself. Being able to trust myself. And I think about, like, the people in Baltimore and everywhere else, people who are protesting, you know, for their rights, for things that they should have, just them calling on, you know, the forces that are within them to do what they're called to do, and that's different and unique and the same all at once. So
Melody, I wrote what I wrote just because like, I'm a college student, and I've spent a few years hearing all about race and class and all of these things, but the way that you learn about them is just so detached, and you're trying to be academic and smart, and, like, you can learn the statistics, and you can learn just a broad picture of what it looks like, but that's not it. Like, that's not the reality of it. And I mean, I grew up in that kind of lifestyle, but at the same time, like, I mean, I was exposed to a whole lot. Like, it's not just that. Like, I'm mixed. My mom's white, and I lived with her. So, in a way, I kind of grew up in white privilege and outside of it at the same time. And it's an odd experience, and it's kind of lonely until you find the words to talk about it. But I just, like, this is something that I care about, something that's really relevant to a lot of people, but at the same time, we're not talking about it in a way that's realistic or close. And I don't, like, I think that there's a time and a place for, like, academia, but I don't think that that has to do with, like, talking about people's realities. Mm-hmm. So I try to avoid talking about things like that in an academic way. I think that it should be, like, it should be close, because it is.
I get to share space with Melanie a lot. This is Lydia. I teach at a college. She's infiltrated occasionally. So I feel really lucky to get to sit next to her and hear her read. But when I was thinking about Unchaste this time around, because of what's happening in the world, what I was really thinking and why I chose what I chose to read is that I'm against sanitized change. And I think that applies to changes in, for example, the history of the women's rights movement. Some of it was messy, some of it was deadly, some of it was brutal. When I think of the event that created a rupture for change at Stonewall, which was called a riot and was not pristine or sanitized, but affected part of the change in the conversation and how people were treating each other. And I think of contemporary events here and elsewhere, and I think some of it's we're driving toward peaceful change, but no change has ever happened anywhere with exclusively peaceful means. And so I'm watching on social media lately this conversation emerging about how all forms of violence are wrong. And what I don't hear is the more nuanced look at it, where you can detect that there's a relationship between nonviolence and violence and everything in between it that is activated when there's a problem. And social change happens when all of the pieces between violence and nonviolence are active and not dormant and not cleaned up and not sanitized. And I can never, I've been reading a lot about MLK on the Facebook lately, who I love and I teach and is deeply important to me in my life, but I also teach Malcolm X. And I teach them in relation to each other because that conversation happened. And I teach the two of them in relation to the Black Panthers because that happened as well. And I guess what I hope for us all is that we can recognize our different opinions and loyalties and desires in times of crisis, but that we don't sanitize them. Mm-hmm. And we're willing to listen to all the languages, including the language of rage and the language of bodies and the language of sexualities and the language of, you know, I'm not going to take this anymore. Those are languages. Mm-hmm. So to me today, unchaste meant I'm against sanitized change. Mm-hmm. That's
awesome. Thank you, Rita. Thank you.
This is Nadia, the mother who does not love her children. How I present and how I show up is oftentimes too loud. I have people at my job who tell me that I walk too loudly down the hallways, who tell me that I can't wear certain things because my hips move too provocatively. And so when I met Jenny Forrester and she allowed me to have a voice and to say, yes, show up messy, show up how you are. And oftentimes I am literally messy. I am raising raising three young boys, 5 years and under, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. So I hardly get time to write, much less edit. And she always embraces what I have to say because what's happening is my reality. Thank you, Jenny.
Oh, thank you.
The seed for the piece that I read actually came about because I was scrolling through a journal online, and I saw someone else's piece, and there was something about a serpent in a basket, and the image was very vivid for me, and I didn't see what I was feeling in my head coming out in the poem I was reading, so I wrote that piece. What was really interesting to me in thinking about that is the way that fairy tales are actually really messed up. If you think about them, they're really horrible. Like Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, they get the prince and ride off into the sunset together, right? Except that the way they get the prince is super non-consensual. That just gets glossed right over. Nobody really looks at that part, and then they make a Disney film out of it, right? And it's all beautiful and clean and sanitized, right? That's not what I see when I think of fairy tales, when I think about like the older versions of a lot of modern fairy tales. And so I wrote that piece, which took a strange turn while I was writing it and ended up being this sort of strange lesbian erotica, maybe? I don't know what's going on there, but I don't know. I chose that piece to read because it's new, but I really like it.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you all so much.
I want to thank all of you Unchaste readers for being our guests tonight. Lavinia Magliocco, Tazara, Gabrielle Dudley, Kalima Abioto, Melanie Aldrit, Nadia Martinez Chantry, Lydia Yuknovich, and Jenny Forrester. Thank you for your words. I think women's voices are so needed right now, and you all had something to say. I appreciate you sharing it. And the podcast for this will be posted later tonight at kboo.fm. I encourage you to share it far and wide. all you lovely listeners. The next Unchaste Readers event,
May 19th at the American Legion Hall, 7:30. We start right on time. No, we don't, but try to be there at 7:30. And they have nice strong drinks.
And thank you, Dami Shoemaker, for getting us all together in the first place. Thanks to our engineer, Christy Maria. I'm Leanne Kranz. Thank you for listening and supporting KBOO. Spring Membership Drive comes up next Wednesday the 6th. It's a time for special programming and for you all to call us and put your money where your soul is. This is Joy Harjo, Eagle Song. Good night, everybody.
Agasamit Isagaramasi Palmati Mowi Tawigas Pogahoyan Ye Giadi Mon Agatlechka Heathlin Ogalajan Abia Yathlis To pray, you open your whole self. To sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole